T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Joel Corey is a writer for CBSSports.com. He's a former agent, so he knows what he's talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Been talking to him for years, listening, reading his stuff. He's awesome.
Yeah, the thing you want to appreciate about Joel Corey is when people talk about arm talent, or they talk about a guy's ability and where they're ranked, yeah, that's all good. But do you know how to negotiate a contract? His column is called The Agent's Take because he has negotiated with NFL general managers, and including Jerry Jones, for years. So he knows about leverage. So when everybody says, well, Dak's not worth this, or Zeke's not worth that, it has nothing to do with that. It's about contract negotiations and leverage. He knows the salary cap better than a sports fan.
I'm going to tell you right now that I am so over the term arm talent.
Me too.
I'm over it. Because of the way that it describes Dak Prescott. I'll get into that here in a moment. But Joel Corey was on earlier today at the G-Bag Nation, of course, listening on the radio.com app. If you wanted to go back and listen to that, you could do that. So one of the questions being asked here, because we are at this impasse, right? And in what my opinion has been the most over-talked about, but more overthought about situation in sports, hands down, no doubt. It is not anywhere near as big a deal as we have all made it out to be.
You know what made it a big deal? The pandemic. And the fact that the Cowboys are America's team, which is the most popular team in the world.
True.
And so there are people who love the Cowboys and people who love to hate the Cowboys. He's the quarterback. It's always a lightning rod situation. And because he's not Patrick Mahomes, where it's like, well, he is what he is.
Right.
He's just the greatest one.
It allows for us to have the debate.
Exactly.
On where he ranks.
Especially when there's no live sports to talk about. And since this contract is dangling in the air, it's been over examined.
You told not one single lie on that one, Chris. So, Joel Corey, the question being, where now that we're approaching the deadline, which is July 15th, from when the Cowboys can get a long-term deal done with Dak Prescott, or he'll play in 2020 under the franchise tag. So, what is the game plan now for his agent, Todd France?
So, I'm holding firm with the 4 years. That I would tell Jerry, yeah, you want to do a 10-year deal with the home structure, where I also have an out someplace in there or a way to get out, yeah, I would consider that. And by the structure, I mean the guarantee structure, but with conventional cash flow, because I don't have 2 years left, so my cash flow has to be the cash flow from day one, not this depressed cash flow, because he had $27 million he was already scheduled to get. And if not, we need to focus on a four. If I had my client allowed me to do this, because remember, the agent works for the client, not right, the other way around, I would tell Jerry, my client's signing for 4 years. It can be right now, 4-year deal, but I factor the franchise tag in as 1 year. If we do this next year, it's a 3-year deal. And if you're not comfortable with that, then maybe, if I had a client who was willing, then maybe you should think about something else with my guy where it makes sense for everybody to move forward in a different direction. I may not have signed the franchise tag right now like Dak did, because I don't think there was any chance that they were ever going to pull it under any circumstance.
And see, that is what illustrates to me Dak signing the franchise tag when he did not need to do that.
Nope, didn't have to.
Did not have to do that. That's him coming in and saying, like, look, I'm just going to, I'm going to play. I'm going to be here.
Mm-hmm.
I want to get this thing going. I want to start, working Mike McCarthy. I don't want this.
That was the olive branch.
Yeah, this was the point for him to say, okay. And again, from my perspective, that it's being completely overblown. Like, he was going to play. They weren't going to take, the franchise tag away from him either. But here's the whole situation, okay? We go back to last year. And I'll be brief on this because I did it last night. And I just want to get your perspective on it, Chris, and then we'll hear more from Joel and just putting it in some context. So last year, they decide, okay, well, we're going to start negotiating, a new contract. But But as we know from our very own Brian Broaddus, was in the building, and knowing that the discussions that were being had behind closed doors were, is this really our guy, right? Because Dak had a good 2018, but it wasn't spectacular. He had improved after each of his first 3 years. But hey, we were all having the same questions, right? You remember what the main one was? Yeah, if Zeke goes down, can he really carry you to a win, right? He's not that type of guy, right? He's not an Aaron Rodgers type of player or Pat Mahomes. You go that. And there are numbers that dictate that. I referenced last night at profootballreference.com that they have bad throw percentage. And he had his in 2018 at 17%. So I can understand where the Cowboys and Jerry being like, is this really our guy? And then guess what he did last year? Because they're like, okay, we don't have it yet. And then like, well, we're not going to negotiate during the season. But then what did Dak do?
He had an MVP type run.
Yeah.
The team didn't look great. But he started off on fire, and then he injured his shoulder, and he made it through all the rest of those games. But guess what he did? He still had a very, very good year. You look at all the stats, all the ratings of where he is. It was a top 10 performance.
No doubt. I'll just bring up the one here.
Which was better than the year before.
I'll just bring up the one here, because I said earlier on how much I hate the arm talent discussion. Because what do you hear all the time with Dak? Well, he doesn't throw the prettiest ball. He doesn't have the greatest arm. He's not all that accurate. I have no idea what television, I don't think that those people are watching it in high def. I don't. Because Dak has a strong arm. Dak throws a spiral. I mean, is it Aaron Rodgers or Mahomes? No, but Dak throws a really good ball. And I mentioned the bad throw percentage because that's how really you could determine on whether or not he is accurate or not. This percentage comes in where they look at it and they say, we'll take away spikes and throwaways. Were these balls on target to your wide receivers? In 2019, his bad throw percentage went down to 14.8. You want to know? You want to hear who that's lower than?
Who?
Aaron Rodgers, Russell Wilson, Carson Wentz, Pat Mahomes, again, probably heard of him. Tom Brady, that guy. Few rings, and the MVP, Lamar Jackson. All of which, he threw less bad balls than all those guys last year, percentage-wise. So, okay, and the Cowboys and Jerry have said all along, he's our guy, he's our guy, he's our guy. But what does Jerry like to do when in regard to negotiations?
He enjoys the negotiation. He says, I have a high tolerance for ambiguity.
Right.
And so what he always figures is we already know our figure. We already know what we want to do.
And by the way, the figure is the same on both sides. It's all about the years.
So I'll explain that in a second, but then Joe will too. It's Jerry Jones, the high tolerance for ambiguity is because he feels like there is a chance, even if it's a minuscule chance, that the athlete will get tired of waiting and buck his agent and they get a better deal. Otherwise, they're going to pay anyway. And lately, it hadn't worked out that way because Tank, you paid him anyway. Zeke, he had to go to Cabo, but you paid him anyway.
Dez.
But Dez, same thing. But the whole point is he has a high tolerance for ambiguity. For those who don't know what that means, he likes to play poker. Cowboy fans are like, oh,
or chicken,
the
however you want to call it.
Yes. The Cowboy fans are like, oh, you're going to get him done. You're going to make him. They can't handle the pressure. That's his sport.
Yeah.
That's his pressure. That's his 20-foot putt. That's what he likes to do. He thinks the athlete Sunk doesn't have that
today,
kind of pressure.
By the way.
Yeah. So back to Dak and why you say when Broaddus was saying, well, there was some talk in the building.
Yeah,
but Jerry was asking the question, is he really our guy?
Right. And he silenced them.
Yes, he did.
Those questions.
So let me explain that. Some people forget that Scott Linehan was the offensive coordinator around here up until the change of this season. In 2016, he had Dak Prescott as a rookie. They couldn't plan for it because Romo got hurt in the preseason. So thus, they were doing a lot of Mississippi State plays. No NFL defensive coordinator had tape on Dak Prescott. He excelled. They won 11 games in a row. 13 in that season. It was an incredible season, right? What does Linehan do the next season? He micromanaged him. See, when Linehan was there with Romo, Romo would say kill, kill, kill and run his own plays. He was already that good. Here's Dak, doesn't know anything. He said, I want you to stay in the pocket and get killed, which he did in Atlanta. And then Linehan said, you know what? We don't even need Dez. We can do wide receiver by committee. That S blew up in his face. And it took the trade for Amari Cooper to save all the coaching staff, including Linehan. So guess what? Dak had an unimpressive 2018 because Amari Cooper, the second half of the season, when he was there, Dak looked great. But it was unimpressive because the first half he sucked. All right? Scott Linehan got fired. You bring in Kellen Moore. Kellen Moore has ideas. Dak looks like an MVP. But this was after Jerry says, is this guy really our quarterback because I got to pay all this big money? He asked that question before the season started, and rightly so, because 2016 Dak, he looks like $1 million. The second season, when Linehan's micromanaging him, he's getting sacked, he's not throwing away the ball, he's doing everything because he's thinking, he's overthinking. People forget about that Linehan factor.
I know.
But they want to just say he sucks.
I know.
And then guess what? The narrative changes because Kellen Moore is there and Dak actually worked and he got improved. And so everybody who's stuck on the fact that, wait a minute, that 2017 and then the half the season, he didn't have any receivers, he couldn't carry the team.
Well, look.
I can go on and on and on.
I know.
I blame Linehan.
We all could. Look, here's the deal. At the end of the day, Jerry's just waiting.
Yes.
Till the deadline. That's it.
That's it.
And so is Dak. And he's like, no, I'm going to play. And he signed the deal, the franchise tag. And we didn't have to do that. And so, in my opinion, it's all going to happen next week. And I totally get you know, Tola from the 817, Will, all those quarterbacks you named were in this thing called the playoffs. You need to make it to the playoffs to get to the Super Bowl. I don't know if you knew that. Look, those guys that I mentioned, Russell Wilson. Dak beat Russell Wilson.
Twice.
In the playoffs.
Twice.
Carson Wentz, I named in there. Carson Wentz hadn't won a playoff game.
Nope.
Lamar Jackson is 0-2
in the playoffs.
In the playoffs. So.
I'll give you one more. RJ's got this stat where it shows that Dak's progression over his four-year career matches Russell Wilson outside of the Super Bowls, right? I will say right here on the air, again, 5 years ago when Russell Wilson had just won the Super Bowl, there were so many people around the NFL and in this town that said Russell Wilson sucked. He was too short. He couldn't throw a deep ball. He couldn't see over the offensive line. He's a terrible quarterback. It was beast mode and that Legion of Boom. Well, I'm going to say that a million times because there were so many people who said that and I got crucified because I was saying, guess what? Travis Frederick, who was Russell Wilson's center in college, said, Russell Wilson's the real deal. Troy Aikman told me, Russell Wilson's the real deal. But half of America, Russell Wilson's overrated. Seattle don't even know what they've got.
That was, I was going to say, I never said he sucked, but I will own.
But you weren't the only one.
The first few years, I said
you
I thought he was overrated.
You weren't the only one.
But I think that
it was almost unanimous.
But Russell,
and I got all these stab marks in my back because everywhere. Russell Wilson even came to Ranger spring training. Did you know that?
Oh, yeah.
He was there.
Twice.
And guess what? There was so much narrative that Russell, I mean, it was almost Russell hate. And I was like, God, dog, why am I getting crucified for defending Russell Wilson? Now everybody, oh, Russell. So watch what happens with Dak.
We'll see. We'll get to actually some more Joel Corey.
Got to do
later
in the show.
Yeah.
10 o'clock hour.
In your face, losers.
There you are. Boy, I love it working with. It's been a while since you and I worked together.
Oh,
you get CA all wound up. It's some good ass radio.
Little passion, okay. Little passion.
No doubt, man. I had to own it on Russell. I said overrated at the time.
There's a lot. You weren't the only one. If you were the only one, you'd be down. I mean, everybody was saying
that. By year
four,
I was like, okay, I'm wrong here.
And you know what? Guess what people said? Well, he got better.
Well,
Dak got better too.
Yeah.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.